All right, 1 John chapter 5, we're on verse 11. Let's read verses 11 through 13 tonight. Is everybody there? Yeah, one of you are. Yeah. All right, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Now, that ought to get your attention if you care anything at all about anything. This is the record that God has given to us eternal life. I've known people that go through their life wondering whether they're saved or not. And, you know, if you're wondering, it's just a pretty sure thing you're not. That's the whole deal here, is we can know. And this life is in His Son. That's the key right there. That's where it's at. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Very simple little statement, but boy, it's the truth. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Amen. All right. Y'all going to be able to listen, or are you going to be distracted? Yeah. Well, you can turn it back on. It just cracks and pops so much. I don't know if you can stand it or not. I don't know if I can stand it or not. Yeah. All right. Now can you hear me? All right. All right, now the state of man without Christ is death. That's what we just read there. He that hath the Son of God hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You either have life or you don't have life. You're either alive or you're dead. And it depends on whether you have the Son of God or not. Well, how do you know if you got the Son of God? Well, it's real simple. Does he have you? If he has you, then you have him. If he doesn't have you, then you don't have him. You can be real clear about the matter right there. Yes. Is he your Lord? Does he own you? Does he command you? Do you obey him? Does it matter to you what he says, what he thinks? Do you know what he says? Do you know what he thinks? Do you have any idea? If he doesn't have you, then you don't have him. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There's another verse in Colossians chapter 2 that says this in verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him. That means made alive. Quickened is to make alive. Having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and so took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. He forgave us there. He didn't do away with the law. He forgave us. We got to understand that what this is here. Hath not life. That's an absence of life. What is that? Death. No life means death. Well, we can't understand that unless we compare it to the absence of life as we know it here physically. Life. You're alive tonight. You're aware. You're hearing what I'm saying. You're conscious of your surroundings, of other people. I mean, you're conscious that you're alive. Now, when you die, you're not conscious of it. If there were a dead person here tonight, physically dead, it wouldn't matter what you said to them, they won't hear you. It wouldn't matter what you did to them, they won't respond. They're dead. They're unresponsive, unconscious of what's around them. They don't hear anything. You can't tell them anything. You can talk to them all night long. It ain't going to make no difference. They ain't hearing a thing you're saying. Those who are physically dead don't regard anything. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Dead and forgotten. Boy, ain't that the truth? How many of you remember who was in the obituaries last week? Yeah. We got a short memory. Sure do. Now, they're unaffected. People that are dead are unaffected by the cares, by the pleasures, by the amusements of this world. They're not interested in it anymore if they're dead. Are you getting the picture now? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you don't have Christ, you're dead in trespasses and sins. You don't hear anything about God. You're not conscious of anything about God, the Spirit of God. They're unconscious of, a dead person is, they're unconscious of and totally unresponsive to what's going on around them. And those who are without Christ are just the same way concerning the things of the Spirit of God. Some of you here tonight, you may be lost and you don't understand a thing that's being said or going on. I mean, your mind's a million miles away. And if you try to listen, it don't make sense to you. You don't know what he's talking about. You got it? That's death. That's being dead to God and spiritual things. Alive unto sin and alive unto this world, but dead to God. No consciousness, no awareness, no realization of God, no real experience of God, no real knowledge of Him, just disinterested. No interest, no desire, nothing there. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. He's dead to that. He can't, because they're spiritually discerned. He doesn't have in him what it takes to understand and to realize. There has to be a birth. There has to be a new life created in him for him to understand. Now, how do you get that life? How does that happen? Christ enters the situation. He that hath the Son hath life. He's awake to the things of God. Suddenly the lights come on. He can see. He was blind, but now he sees. He was lost, but now he's found. Now he wasn't interested at all, but now he is when Jesus comes into the picture. They're never moved with the things of God or eternity until that happens. They never hear the voice of God until that happens. They live as if there is no God until that happens. Bible said in Psalm 6, 5, for in death there is no remembrance of thee. If you're dead in trespasses and sin, you don't think of God. And if you do, it's just in passing thoughts. It's not in any kind of a searching deep way. There's none that seeketh after God, the Bible says. They may be moved in church by excitement or emotion. I've seen people in church just cry. I've seen them shout. Do all kinds of things they really moved and excited by what's going on around them, but that's not the Spirit of God if they don't have the Son of God. It's emotion. You know? If I'd set myself to it, I could tell you a sad story tonight and cry while I'm telling you, and you'd cry. It would move you to tears. But that doesn't mean that's the Spirit of God doing that. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. The dead don't praise the Lord. They never see His loveliness. They never see the goodness of God as it is. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 38, I thought this was interesting. Listen to this, what he says here. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. The living, they're the ones who praise the Lord. The dead don't do it. Well, ain't that the truth? That's why when you come to church, the living praise the Lord. The dead don't do it. You ever hear about a dead church? That's what it is, dead. They're not alive. He that the Son hath life, and where there's life, there's going to be something happening. There's going to be a voice where there's life. There's going to be activity where there's life. Yes, sir. Going to be something happening. We've always had kids around the house. Now there's life where there's children. And that's why the nursing home, that's why it's such a good thing when children show up. They enjoy them so much because children show you what living is. They don't sit around, oh, you know, unless they're a weird kid. Kids are busy and they don't miss nothing. They're completely aware of everything that's going on around them. A bug don't get by without them somebody spotting it. They're alive. They're aware. They're receiving everything that's around them and everything that's happening around them. They're aware of it. Now, you know, the dead, when you're dead in sins, you're not concerned with the warnings that God gives about the consequences of living without God or the imminent return of Christ for his bride. You're not worried about that either, as long as you're dead. Now, the person who has Christ, however, has life. The Bible said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, here's the mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The living. He's no longer oblivious to the things of God. He who has the Son of God, and the Son of God has him. He's not oblivious to the things of God. He's like the child who sees everything that's happening. When somebody gets born again, they come to church to get something. They come to listen. They come to learn. And they're eager for it. And they don't sit there and daydream and miss the whole thing. They're listening. They're alive. They're receiving. They're conscious. They're aware. And they're hungry. He's no longer oblivious to the things of God like he was before. You could talk about anything. I mean, I know this is the way I've experienced it too. I remember when it didn't mean nothing to me. Didn't have any interest whatsoever. Boring. Not interested. I remember what that feels like. But I know what it feels like also to be made alive and all of a sudden realize, man, there's something really here that I didn't know about. He lives and acts after he's alive, and he feels as if there were a God, because there is. And that's contrary to how he did when he abode in death. He lived and acted as if there was no God. Now he lives as there is a God. In the presence of God, in the sight of God. He's aware of God. God's presence, God's eyes upon him. God's working in his life. God's providence, he's aware of that. He that hath the Son, he's got life, so he's aware. This person who has Christ is alive now and forevermore. It's eternal life. He lives aware of the presence and the power and the glory of God. And rejoices in it. He lives. There's a difference in living and just existing. There's a difference in living, you know, and then just being alive and dead. You know, how am I trying to say this? There's people who are dead, but they're alive, but they're, you wouldn't know it because they're oblivious to everything around them. Their life is meaningless and empty and a drudgery to them. But the person who has Christ is alive. He's living. He lives aware of God. He lives anticipating the return of the Savior for those who he has bought and redeemed from their sin with his blood. That's the blessed hope, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present evil world, and to look for His Son from heaven. I mean, the grace of God teaches us to look for Jesus coming again. So that's how a person lives when they have the Son of God. He that has Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He's not alive. He's not aware. He doesn't care. He's not interested. He's got His own life. But when you have the Son, He is your life. And He's what motivates you, and He's what you live for. There's a consciousness and a responsiveness to God and to His Word and to His Spirit that wasn't there when they were without Jesus and without life. Now, I really believe that's the way it is. You know, we have things nowadays where people can't tell the difference. You just can't tell the difference. You can't judge nobody because you can't tell if anybody's saved or not. That's something in the heart. Oh, is it really? Well, I've got a Bible here that's full of this kind of stuff right here. The Bible, from cover to cover, makes a difference between the lost and the saved. You know, the missionary was here Sunday. He brought that out. First, one of the first things he said was there are just two kinds of people in the world. The lost people and the saved people. And that's exactly right. There's God's people and there's all the rest. We're not all the children of God. Jesus told those Pharisees they were the children of the devil. What about that? You're of your father, the devil. Don't call God your father. Don't call Abraham your father. The devil's your father. And Jesus told them that. So I can safely tell you tonight that not everybody is the children of God. If you have the Son, you have life. If you have not the Son of God, you have not life. That is quite a difference. And that's quite a practical difference in our lives as we live them in this world day by day. That's quite a practical difference. Dead or alive. Quite a difference, sir. That to have the Son means that the Son has you. Christ in you is only used one time in the New Testament. What I just read to you there in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. One time. The phrase in Christ is used 77 times in the New Testament. So which do you think is most important for us? Which way do you think is the most important way for us to look at this? Christ in us or us in Christ? One time versus 77 times. How do you think we ought to view this thing? We should be in Christ. See, that's sort of like the deal of Jesus is my co-pilot. No, Jesus ain't your co-pilot. He ain't nobody's second-hand man. He's the Lord and Savior. He's not your co-pilot. Either He's the pilot or He has nothing to do with your life. You don't run your own life, and I don't run my own life. I don't chart my course and make my decisions and do what I want and then expect Jesus to just come along behind me picking up the pieces and guard me all the way. And just, that ain't how it works. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. The shepherd leads the sheep. We're to be led of the Spirit. We don't drag Him along behind us as our servant. He's not our servant. We're His servants. And that's the way we ought to view this thing. Being in Christ. To have the Son means He has us. Christ is the King of kings, and he that hath the Son hath a king. Well, what does a king do? He rules. The king is one that rules. So if we have a king, he rules over us. Yeah. The kingdom of God is within you, Jesus said. What does that mean? Well, that means your heart. The kingdom of God is within us. It's your heart. You're on the throne of your heart until you give it up and let Jesus have it. then he's got you. You got him. He's got you. You got life instead of death. Until that happens, you got death. That's all you got. You ain't got life. As long as you're maintaining the throne and holding on to it. As long, are you listening to me? As long as you're maintaining and holding on to your right to yourself, you do not have the Son of God. And therefore you don't have life. As long as your life is yours and you're going to do as you please with it and you're going to make your decisions and you're going to go where you want, you're going to marry who you want, and you're going to do what you and be what you want, and your life is yours, forget it. As far as life, you don't have it. You don't have the Son of God. When He comes in, it's His life. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's what Paul said. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. See? It's not my life anymore. It's Him living in me and through me. My life is His. So therefore, I got life. That's the way it works with God. Do you understand that when you give it up, that's when you get it? Jesus said, if you save your life, you lose it. But if you'll lose your life for His sake, you'll keep it. You understand that? You got to die before you can live. That's what salvation is. It's the gospel. The death, burial, resurrection of Christ. That has to happen in our life. It can't just be a story we hear about and say, well, that's a nice story. I agree with that. I like it. I believe that. That's not saving faith. Saving faith is when it happens in your life. That old man is crucified with Christ. Dead. You mortify your members which are on earth. You put them to death. And when you do, then you're resurrected unto new life. And that new life, you know, we sing a song, the old man is dead. You know, I may wear the same old clothes, I may have the same old name, but it's not like all it looks. You know, the old man is dead. So it's got to happen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Now all this is written in the Word of God that you might be able to know that you're saved. There in verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Okay. Now, how can anybody argue with that? A lot of people say, well, you can't know. Nobody can know. What did that just say? What did it say? He wrote these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. Plain, very plain. What things? If you have the Son, you have life. If you have not the Son of God, you have not life. This life is in His Son. Do you have Jesus? Does Jesus have you? Well, that's the question. This comes right back down to it, don't it? You know, all these Baptists nowadays, they preach no works. They're scared to death. Somebody's going to accuse them of preaching works. So, boy, they stay way away from it. You know, they go so far, it don't matter. You know, we're all sinners, and we can't help it, and we can't stop it, and don't worry about it, and God understands, and we're all just wicked, and Boy, I read the Bible and it sure ain't like that in the Bible. We was reading in Ezekiel the other night, chapter 18. Boy, that chapter's hard on all this sinful nature and inherited sin and all this stuff about how we're sinners because our fathers were sinners and because Adam was a sinner. And God just over and over and over stresses it. If you do evil, you're going to die. If you do righteousness, you'll live. And it's not because of what your father did. Your father may be wicked, but if the son does right, the son's going to live. If the father is wicked and the son does right, he'll live. No matter how it is, it all, I mean, God has stressed it and stressed it and stressed it. It's on what you are. Now, if you have the Son of God, you're going to live right. This old modern day stuff of just everybody loves Jesus and everybody knows Jesus, but they live like dogs and the rest of the world, that's a bunch of junk and lies. Jesus ain't going to let you live like that if you're His bride. Ain't going to happen. And you won't want to. So, let me hurry up and get done here. We may have to build an ark real quick or something. Those who are saved know they are. Being saved is not like trying out for a ball team. It's like being born into a family and a home. There's not such a thing as a person who is saved but doesn't know it. Y'all hear me? There ain't no such a thing as that. No more than there's somebody who's married and doesn't know it. You know, if I ask any of you today, I mean, like, you know, if I ask Dakota, are you married? And Dakota said, I don't know. I'm not sure if I am or not. Well, you'd think, what's the matter with that boy? But I can ask somebody if they're saved or not. Well, I'm not sure. What do you mean you're not sure? Do you have the Son? Huh? If you're married, you have a wife or a husband. Do you have the Son? There, we can base our assurance on the things that we just read here. Because He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So we can base our assurance on that. Do we have life? Do you hear the voice of God? When the Word of God is preached, do you hear anything? Does anything ever move you? Does it ever speak to your heart? Does it ever go deeper than your ears? Do you ever get anything out of it? Or do you just come to church and just bored, bored, bored? Do you come to church and get something? At least once in a while? Do you have life? Do we live our life and think our thoughts in the full view of God? Do you have a consciousness of God? Are you aware of God with you? Are you? Do you have life? Or do we live as if He doesn't exist? That's death. If you have not the Son of God, you're going to live as if God doesn't exist. That's death. It's not about what we've done or not done. It's about where God is in our life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. That's what it's about. That's, these things He are written that we might know that we have eternal life. Have we been born again into a new life with Christ as the source and center of everything? Have we? Is He the source and center of everything? Is He where we go for answers? Do you pray? Is that your first inclination? Do you pray? Yeah, I was at the mill today. That's what he said. He said, boy, he said, I started up that hill and he's pulling a trailer and he said, oh Lord, please help there to be a turnaround up there somewhere. But a lot of people come in and I guarantee you they didn't say that. They didn't even worry about it. Didn't care. Do you turn to the Lord? Is He your first recourse? Is He the first one you call to for help? Or do you look everywhere else and He's your last resort? Well, that's something we ought to ponder, don't you think? Do we have the Son of God? If the Son of God doesn't have us, then we can be sure that we do not have Him. But if He does have us, then we may be assured that we have Him also. Because this thing about being saved is a covenant. It's like getting married. You promise. You mutually promise to each other. That's the way it is. It's not a one-way deal. You don't just cry out to God and God saves you and nothing changes in your life or your side of the thing. No, everything changes in your side. God's the one who stays the same. You see, we're the sinners. We're the ones that are messed up. We're the ones who are lost. We're the ones who are dead. And it's God who has life. It's God who has everything to give us. We don't have anything to give Him. We come to Him poor and beggars, and He takes us when we yield our life to Him. When we yield, when we give it up and say, I'll take it all. You know, it's that pearl of great price. Get rid of everything but that. Yeah. Yeah. It's worth it. Whole lot better deal. You got life. It's good to be alive. I've said a lot of times, but it really, to me, life seems like it started when I got saved. It really does. I'm not just saying that. I'm not just being, trying to say something, make it sound good. That is really the way I feel in my soul and in my life. It's just like life began then. Because I was born then. I remember before, but it's just like, you know, that's just like another world, another life, a different thing. My life consists of what's happened since then. I was made aware, I became aware of a whole realm that I didn't know anything about before. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So when you get born again, you can see because you're alive. Because you got new life and everything's different. Amen. Let us stand. He that hath the Son of God hath life. And these things are written that we may know that we have eternal life. It's real easy to know. Real easy to know. Say, well, I just don't know. Well, then I can tell you how to know. You can come to Jesus and surrender. You just surrender. Do you know what that means? Give up. If you're not saved, it's because you're holding on to something. You're holding on to something in here. There's always some besetting sin. There's always a certain sin. And it may be different for different people. There's a lot of them that are common, but there's always one thing that's right in the front of your mind that says, well, no, I just can't. It's just like something standing right in the pathway blocking you. You got to overcome that. If you want to be saved, you got to overcome it. You got to knock it out of the way. You got to take the kingdom of heaven with violence. That's what the Bible says. That means you're going to have to do violence to those things in your life that won't let you go. If it was an evil person that had a hold of you and wouldn't let you go, you'd fight them. You'd fight with all you had to get loose from them, to get to safety. And that's what you ought to do. That's what you ought to realize, man. The devil's got a hold of your life and he's got his hooks in you and he ain't going to let you go unless you fight it and run to Jesus. And have life. Yes, sir. Amen. All right, bow your heads and we'll have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for allowing us to be here tonight in a dry place, away from the storm that's going on outside. Pray you'd watch over us all now as we go home and keep us safe on the road and all of this. I pray, Lord, for the message tonight, that it would land on good ground and bring forth fruit. Pray it would be heard, and Lord, that you would bless it and make it effective and understandable, and bear fruit in the lives of those who hear it. Lord, I love you. Thank you for life. And thank you for saving people like me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, let's sing a little chorus, and then we'll dismiss. Anybody got a chorus you want to sing? Somebody got one right on the tip of your tongue? How about this one? I will bless the Lord at all times. It's Psalm 34, 1 through 4. You know it? All times His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will shall make her boast in Thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. See, the psalmist wrote that 3,000 years ago. Same Lord, same way. He sought the Lord, and He heard Him, and delivered Him from all his fears. He still does it.
Yes.
And some people still find it that way. Amen.